You're listening to a Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders 30th Anniversary Podcast. Founded in 1978, GLAAD is New England's leading legal rights organization dedicated to ending discrimination based on sexual orientation, HIV status, and gender identity and expression. For more information and updates on GLAAD's current legal work, visit us at glaad.org.
At 81, David Knapp still remembers the Boy Scout oath.
On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And I remember with the Scout law, the 12 laws, and I figured that there was no way I could follow all the Scout laws, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, that I couldn't possibly follow them all in one day at the age of 12 or 13 or 14. So I'd take one law each day and try to follow that. And, you know, I really took it seriously. And they stressed very heavily doing a good turn every day. Just doing something for somebody, whether it was a stranger or whether it was your family or somebody in school or whatever. And I guess that had a very, it did have a very strong appeal to me as far as that goes.
Knapp joined the Boy Scouts in 1938 during the Great Depression. He was 12, and at that time in a rural New Jersey town just outside of New Brunswick, there wasn't much for a 12-year-old kid to do. There weren't any youth programs for boys, no Little League, no football. David loved scouting. He liked being outdoors, and he thrived on the encouragement to achieve. He liked the inclusiveness, too. The Scouts accepted everyone.
And I really loved the just the camaraderie and bonding and you know, fellowship that I got in scouting. In those days, they took in, you know, a lot of the Scouts were not the school athletes or the big wheels in school. And so they took in everyone, including the oddballs and the nerds and the fat kids and many of them that did not fit in. I mean, many of them did too, but it was just open to everybody.
Knapp moved up through the scouting ranks from Eagle Scout in high school to volunteer explorer advisor as an adult, finally in 1950 taking a job as a district scout executive. He left scouting for other work in 1960, but in 1986, after moving to Connecticut, he started volunteering as a scout commissioner, helping to recruit and train other adult scout leaders. Then, in 1990 in New Jersey, a former Eagle Scout named James Dale was publicly forced out of the Boy Scouts when scout leadership learned he's gay. Dale filed a lawsuit in 1992 for reinstatement to the Scouts under New Jersey's non-discrimination law. A year later, when David Knapp was still a scout commissioner, three scout leaders showed up at his home in Guilford, Connecticut.
So I was doing that job for about 5 years when the three men from the council, including the vice chairman and the assistant scout executive and one other person, came to my house unannounced in Guilford here and told me that I was being expelled from the Boy Scouts of America. And I was in total shock. And I said, why? And the assistant scout executive said, do you really want to know why? And I said, of course I want to know why. And he said, because we have discovered you are a homosexual. He said it as though he was spitting dirt out of his mouth, which is what he thought of me and all homosexuals.
The United States Supreme Court in 2000 decided the Dale case, saying it was okay for the Boy Scouts to expel James Dale and, by implication, David Knapp. As a private organization, the court said, the Boy Scouts had a First Amendment right to freedom of association and could discriminate against gay adult scout leaders. But even before the Dale decision in the early 1990s, the Boy Scouts' public declaration of their anti-gay policy had a ripple effect throughout the country. Organizations, cities, and towns from California to Florida filed suit to sever ties with the Boy Scouts. Some lost, but some won. GLAAD's case, Boy Scouts of America v. Wyman, was one of those victories. In Wyman, a federal court of appeals affirmed the strength of the Connecticut state non-discrimination law and non-discrimination laws throughout the country by upholding the state of Connecticut's decision to exclude the Boy Scouts from the state charitable campaign. What follows is an interview about the case with GLAAD senior attorney Jennifer Levi. So, Jennifer, what is the Wyman case about?
So, the case of Wyman versus Boy Scouts of America initiated by actually a letter that was sent from the head of the Connecticut Human Rights and Opportunities Commission to the state charitable campaign asking whether or not the Boy Scouts complied with state law. The reason she sent that letter was that in a case brought under a New Jersey non-discrimination law, the Boy Scouts made crystal clear their policy, which included the exclusion of gay youth from their scouting programs and participation of openly gay adult scoutmasters. So New Jersey said that that was impermissible and that the Boy Scouts policy violated state law. And the Boy Scouts appealed that decision to the United States Supreme Court. While the case was pending at the United States Supreme Court, given the clarification of their policy, given the clarification of the Boy Scouts policy, the head of the Human Rights Commission in Connecticut asked the head of the state campaign for charitable giving whether or not the Boy Scouts should be allowed to continue to participate in the campaign. And Nancy Wyman, who was the state comptroller and formerly the head of the state campaign for charitable giving, wanted to make sure that the campaign was complying with state law and asked for clarification on that point from the Human Rights Commission.
What did the Human Rights Commission do?
The Human Rights Commission had a number of different hearings in order to answer the questions that were asked by the campaign. And those questions included both whether or not the Boy Scouts' exclusion of gay people from participating in the organization violated state law, and then also whether or not that meant that the Boy Scouts had to be excluded from the campaign for charitable giving. So the process at the Human Rights Commission included public hearings at which the Boy Scouts were invited to present their case and concerned members of the public were invited to present their case. And that's the point at which GLAAD got involved.
Can you describe the public hearings?
Yeah, there were a number of people that testified about their experience of scouting. There are certainly a number of gay people who went through the Boy Scouts who never thought that the Boy Scouts, in fact, had the mission that they eventually articulated, and they felt quite betrayed by the Boy Scouts' articulation of that mission. There were parents who were really concerned about the fact that they wanted their children to have that experience of scouting, but they didn't want them to be part of an anti-gay organization. There were employees of the state of Connecticut who were really deeply offended that they were being given promotional materials by an organization that they knew had staked out a publicly anti-gay position. And so people had really strong feelings on sort of all sides of the issue. I think there were members of the community that, you know, who had gone through the scouting experience and felt like they should get to be part of the charitable campaign, that it was, you know, central to American core values, that it was like mom and apple pie. And so people had really strong feelings on both of the issues, much of which had very little to do with the law or the legal landscape, but it really, I think, reflected a cultural sense of what was important.
The Boy Scouts was the only organization excluded from the charitable campaign. What was their response to that?
The Boy Scouts were very exercised about the fact that they were excluded singularly from the campaign. In other words, the Boy Scouts believed that in a stack of applications, somebody went through and said, I don't like the Boy Scouts. I'm going to pull out their application and confirm whether or not the Boy Scouts is complying with the state non-discrimination law. And the reason the Boy Scouts took that position is because it would have strengthened their case that it was being targeted based on its viewpoint. That, of course, was never the case. the truth is that the Boy Scouts trumpeted their anti-gay policy. They trumpeted their policy in the defense of their case arising out of the New Jersey case. And so we argued that the Boy Scouts should have been happy about the fact that they were excluded because it underscored their message. It made it crystal clear to everybody that it was an anti-gay organization. But of course, the Boy Scouts really wanted it both ways. They wanted to be an anti-gay organization without being particularly clear about that part of its mission, in order to both appeal to people that thought it was the right thing to do and appeal to people that thought it was the wrong thing to do.
What was GLAAD's role in the case?
GLAAD's role initially at the Connecticut Human Rights and Opportunities Commission was to stake out the legal position on behalf of ourselves, GLAAD, as well as the Connecticut Coalition for LGBT Civil Rights and the Connecticut Women's Education and Legal Fund. So we represented three organizations who believed that the Boy Scouts should not be able to participate in the charitable campaign. We filed a number of different legal briefs with the CHRO, and then we subsequently sought to intervene on our own behalf in the case that eventually went to federal court. And although that intervention was denied, we continued in our role as an amicus in the case, both at the trial court level and on appeal.
And what happened when the Boy Scouts filed suit against Nancy Wyman?
After the Connecticut Human Rights Commission clarified the fact that the Boy Scouts should be excluded from the campaign because of their discriminatory policy, the Boy Scouts turned around and sued the comptroller. And they said, well, look, we have a constitutional right to participate in the state charitable campaign. And I think they were quite bolstered in their position, at least they thought, by the United States Supreme Court's clarification about their ability to exist as an organization that discriminates against gay people in participating in their participation. So the question that this case really focused on was around the strength of enforcing a non-discrimination policy that included non-discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in the context of a state charitable campaign, which is important because that's the way in which a lot of organizations essentially raise funds. And so Boy Scouts really cared about the bottom line, about their financial ability to get donations, about their ability to get donations from state employees. They got a significant amount of money from participating in the campaign.
What were the legal arguments on both sides?
So the Boy Scouts' argument was that its exclusion from the state charitable campaign violated its First Amendment rights. And what it was trying to prove is that it was excluded because of its point of view. Essentially, we argued that even-handed enforcement of a non-discrimination policy is not viewpoint-based, that it's viewpoint-neutral. And what we argued and what the court agreed was that it didn't target anybody from exclusion in the campaign because of staking out a position on one side or the other as it relates to non-discrimination. So, for example, the Boy Scouts said, you know, groups like PFLAG could participate in the campaign because they're pro-gay, and Boy Scouts can't participate because they're anti-gay. And we said, no. You could participate if you're a pro-gay organization, and you can participate if you're an anti-gay organization. You just can't have an anti-gay employment policy, and you can't have an anti-gay participation policy. So in other words, you know, in theory, you could have a group that espouses an anti-gay point of view that gets included in the campaign as long as they don't say, we're not going to allow gay people to join the organization and we're not going to hire gay people on our staff. So if you had the self-loathing gay people that wanted to work at that anti-gay organization, then it was an example of an unproblematic kind of organization. And so the key to our position was that non-discrimination policies are not viewpoint-based, that they survive any kind of constitutional scrutiny.
What was the outcome of the case?
We won. Second Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the Federal District Court and about the strength of the state's non-discrimination law, and confirmed that the Boy Scouts, as long as they continue to espouse their anti-gay policy, cannot participate in the state charitable campaign. They can't be included in the materials that get distributed to employees that identify organizations that employees can decide to designate for purposes of charitable giving.
And what was the impact of the decision?
Yeah, the impact of the decision was, I think, much broader than that. And it was that it really more broadly called into question whether or not the Boy Scouts could continue to have the kind of very special access that it has historically had to governmental benefits. So, you know, for example, there were municipalities that had offered their function rooms to the Boy Scouts at discounted rates, or there was a program in a harbor in California that allowed for discounted rates to a program called the Sea Scouts for use of the docking facilities. They got a tremendously discounted rate for use of those facilities, and it caused other governmental agencies and facilities to question this special access that it had given to the Boy Scouts. And there were other charitable campaigns across the country that revisited the inclusion of the Boy Scouts in those campaigns. So I think it certainly hit the Boy Scouts in their pocketbook, in its pocketbook. And it also, I think, really highlighted for a lot of people, even more so, even in addition to the Dale case, that, you know, the anti-gay policy of the Boy Scouts was real and vital.
So in addition to shoring up anti-discrimination laws, how is the case still important today?
Yeah, so there's been a pretty systematic and organized effort by some of the radical right legal organizations to chip away at the strength of, for example, university non-discrimination laws. And in at least two cases involving challenges by the Christian legal societies to university non-discrimination policies, a key part of the defense of those policies has been the Wyman decision from the Second Circuit.
Why else was the Wyman case an important case for GLAAD?
So another reason why this case was very important for GLAAD was because of the way in which I think the Boy Scouts have been perceived as being part of the fabric of American society. And we felt that it was really important, once the Boy Scouts had so publicly staked out their anti-gay position, that people understand that it's not okay to exclude gay youth from participation in scouting programs, or, you know, gay adult members from leadership positions in those organizations. And so given how public the Boy Scouts had been in about their policy in light of the Dale decision, this was a really important opportunity for us to highlight the real harms that those kind of policies have on members of our community and family members of those within our community as well.
Did the Boy Scouts ever articulate why they wanted to be able to discriminate?
In the Dale case that went up to the United States Supreme Court, they essentially argued that it was central to their mission, that being morally clean and straight, which was the language that's in their handbook, means that you can't be gay and that you're a bad role model, in fact, if you are gay. Unfortunately, it pitted the values of non-discrimination against the values of the Boy Scouts.
Do you know if the Boy Scouts have changed their position? If they're...
No, the Boy Scouts have not changed their position at all. In fact, I think... you know, they were in some ways emboldened by the decision by the United States Supreme Court. Although certainly a lot of local chapters have tried to individually disavow the policy, but in order to be part of the national organization, they have to enforce the policy. There have developed a number of alternatives to the Boy Scouts that now offer, you know, the same kinds of scouting-related activities to young people, regardless of sexual orientation. And I think that those have really been become pretty strong in some communities, because a lot of parents like the idea of scouting, want to send their kids to scouting programs, but absolutely don't want to support an openly anti-gay organization.
Is there any other group like the Boy Scouts who has taken a position that's this sort of high profile and consistently anti-gay?
Well, I mean, the Christian Legal Societies are the most recent example of an organization. Now, of course, they don't have nearly the visibility that the Boy Scouts do, nor do they have at all the history that the Boy Scouts do in this country. But pretty hard pressed to think of another organization that has so much visibility that has taken the extreme anti-gay position that the Boy Scouts have.
The military?
That's a very good example. I will say that the Girl Scouts, in contrast to the Boy Scouts, don't have an anti-gay policy at all, and they really sought to separate themselves, at least in, you know, public understanding, from the Boy Scouts, especially in the early part of 2000, 2001, when there was a lot more focus on this issue.
Did the Girl Scouts ever comment on this case at all?
I don't know if they organizationally made any public comment or statement about it. Lots of lesbians in the Girl Scouts. Nobody seems to mind.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
David Knapp, who at 81 still takes week-long skiing vacations in frosty northern New England states, is now involved with Scouting for All, an organization advocating for inclusive scouting policies. He's also an equality advocate working with Stonewall Speakers in Connecticut, and is proud to say that he just got his 1,000-member church in Guilford to adopt an open and affirming policy. And despite his painful history with scouting, he still values many of the experiences he had and the skills he learned in his more than 20 years with the Boy Scouts.
Thank you for listening to this GLAAD 30th Anniversary podcast. Visit glaad.org to learn more about this story and to download a new podcast on the 15th of every month.